Good evening. Thank you, Kathleen and Roger, for reading those wonderful verses. What am I going to talk about this evening? How many times have you said the Lord's Prayer? This week? Maybe once a week on Sunday, or maybe once a day, or maybe twice a day. So if it's twice a day for a year, that's 730 times. But when you say the Lord's Prayer, how often do you think about snakes and serpents? How often do you think about knocking on doors? I see we're going to have some fun this evening. So this is the first of a series on prayer, 5 evening efforts to understand the complexities behind it, beginning today with praying to the Father, praying through the Son on Sunday week, then praying by the Spirit. And those three, I don't know if you know this wonderful picture by Raphael on the walls in the Vatican, but I love it because we have God at the top, the Son in the middle, and the Holy Spirit. So those are the first three sermons, and I will be tying that together a little bit. And then at the beginning of December, praying with faith, and then praying that this doesn't happen in winter. You'll be glad to know I'm not going to be giving them all. So what I want to say, when I preached here last time, sort of trying to summarise what I'm going to say in a few simple words that you can take away. We're thinking tonight about praying to the Father, as Jesus taught us. And it's crazy, I'm getting quite old, but I haven't quite seen it this way before, having to read through and think about tonight's praying to the Father. But the three things I really want to say are in the word ask, A-S-K. Firstly, we must ask God how to pray. And I'll say a little bit more about each of these in a minute. Secondly, we have to seek. And in my online version of the NIV, it doesn't just say with boldness, but it says shameless audacity. So I would like us to go out of here seeking in shameless audacity as we pray to God. And then knocking, and that promise that the door will be opened. Ask, seek, and knock. And I want to not so much talk about the prayer, the Lord's Prayer that we know, but about what has surrounded it, about the other verses in this piece we have this evening. And then we'll conclude by saying the Lord's Prayer together. And remember that there's a different version of this in Matthew 6 and 7, and they're not quite the same. If I don't distract myself too much, I might divert into some of those as well. So when I try and look at the Bible and understand, you might like to have your Bibles open with you this evening. I like to try and understand a bit of the context. And one of the differences between Luke here and the Matthew version is that Matthew has this episode a little bit earlier, I think, in his time on earth. But this follows Jesus sending out the 72. They come back. There's the parable of the Good Samaritan, and then a time at the home of Martha and Mary. And you might think, why only here does a disciple choose to ask Jesus how to pray? Why was it here? This is the verse. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. Who was he praying to? He must have been praying to the Father. And the disciple waited until he'd finished praying. And then, knowing that John had also taught his disciples, he asks the very simple question, Lord, teach us to pray. So the disciple asked, we must ask God to open our hearts to know how to pray to him. And there are many times in my life when I've not been very confident in prayer. There's been something tough. I haven't known how to pray. And I'm not sure I've always simply asked God. God, I don't know how to solve this problem. Only you can. God, I don't know what to pray to you. Please open my heart to pray as you would have me pray. And the Father. Not all of us have a pretty good relationship with our fathers. Mine was certainly up and down at various times before he died. Interestingly, I tend to only remember the good things. But maybe some of you here this evening don't have that good relationship. So it might seem rather strange to be asking, Father. And again, in preparing for this, I seem to have gone back to the 16th century in much of this, but I have to confess that I hadn't come across the Heidelberg Catechism from 1563. I'm not sure how many others, I'm sure Simon and Vincent have. But I love this and found it very insightful. Why did Christ command us to call God our Father? And this is a lovely verse. To awaken in us at the very beginning of our prayer, what should be basic to our prayer, a childlike reverence and trust that through Christ, God has become our Father. Through Christ, who taught us to pray, God has become our Father. And that just as our parents do not refuse us the things of this life, even less will God the Father refuse to give us what we ask in faith, even though we are sinners. And we'll see the significance of that in a minute. Because God loves us so much, that he gave his only son to die in our place as sinners, that we might have that opportunity to be with God through the power of the Holy Spirit forever. Ask. We must begin by asking. Secondly, seeking. I like again this word with shameless audacity. Seeking. Imagine going to knock on the door of a friend here in Virginia Water at midnight, when a friend has come to your door and you've got nothing in the larder. Knock, knock, knock. Go away, I'm asleep. You know, the children are asleep as well. You're about to waken them up. Knock, knock, knock. But because that person was knocking, the householder did get up and give those loaves of bread, symbolic of food, hospitality. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, the Greek word anaidian is difficult to translate, and there's a lot of uncertainty about exactly what this means, but I think that the message is clear. It's persistent, even though there was actually only one knock in that piece. But there was boldness in there. He will surely get up and give you as much as you need. We must go seeking. We must go, having asked, seeking in the expectation that God will give us what is good for us. And that's why I suggested, and thank you for reading it, that piece from Genesis, I remember reading it throughout my life and finding it actually quite shocking that a man, Abraham, human, argued so strongly with God because he wanted his nephew Lot and the family to be saved. And again, we could speak a lot more about this. I've tried to keep this short so I won't divert too. But 50, 45, 40, 30, 20, 10, it didn't go down to one. Did it? I wonder why. And God knew in advance what he was going to do. And so he saved Lot. Do we pray like that? Do we pray with that persistence? Do we pray with that argument with God? Here we're encouraged to do so. And I don't know if you know any of Ralph Wilson's writing, but again, I think this is lovely. He's delighted that his servant Abraham believes in him enough and understands him enough to ask this. Here is a man who actually trusts God enough to pray this kind of prayer. God loves you when you pray to him, when you call out, Abba, Father. He hears our prayers and longs to answer them. So that was, and thank you again, Kathleen, that was why I wanted that verse here, to encourage us to be persistent in prayer like that. And then knocking, and that assurance that we knock on the door, that it is locked, it will be opened. we'll be able to enter the presence of our Holy Father, who wants us to be there with him. And I think here there are lots of nuances in this piece, because we have sinned. And Jesus says, even though we have sinned, we know what to give good gifts to our children. How much more can our Father want to give us all the good gifts he has planned? And the most important of all, the Holy Spirit. If we seek, if we knock, enter his presence, he will give us the Holy Spirit. Digressing a little, as some of you may know, I was in Abidjan in Côte d'Ivoire this time last week. And I met up with some friends. A guy on the left is called Kandu. Wonderful name, I can do anything. And he wanted to take me out to dinner. He said, Tim, I'm going to take you to eat snake. And I thought, here am I preparing this sermon, and I'm asked to go and eat snake. So I said, I'm not actually very sure. You know, crocodile maybe? Okay, yeah, fine. Anyway, he, that is not snake or crocodile. He had pity on me, and we had some wonderful chicken and yam and all sorts of nice things as well. But I thought God was speaking to me through Kandu. And we might think, gosh, I don't want to eat snake. But the significance of this in what Jesus said is, of course, that these creatures were not permitted for Jews to eat. You're not to eat, I go back to Leviticus, any creature that moves upon the ground, whether it moves on its belly or walks on all fours or on many feet, it is detestable. And interestingly here, it's snakes and scorpions. In the Matthew version, would you give your son a stone when he asks for bread? So we are sinful. And yet, we would never dream of doing that for our children, perhaps. If we ask, if we seek, if we knock, this is God's greatest gift to us, the power of his Holy Spirit that he will bring upon us and enable us to do all things in the name of Jesus. So in summary, we have this verse, which captures it in just a few words. For every one of us who asks will receive, the one who seeks will find, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. And this knocking on the door that's come through many times, again, made me realize something that amazingly, when I think of it now, I hadn't realized before, of other knockings on the door in the Bible. Here, we knock at the door will be opened to us, and we'll be able to enter the presence of God. But we're also told something else, and again, one of my favorite paintings, a little more modern, that Jesus is there. Jesus is there knocking on the doors of our hearts. He wants to come in. Let us unlock our doors. Let us open our hearts so he can live in our hearts and everything that I've said so far can be fulfilled. Now, Simon has suggested we're all going to be in small groups, that some questions that come out of this. And I'd just like to let you, if you haven't got these already, if you have, remind you, but let you just some things to think about to be spoken about in small groups. What do we think about? What are the positive things about fathers? How do we help those whose experience of fathers is not as positive as ours might be? What does the notion of our Father conjure up for you? And then what does, and I hope this is where I've tried to open some doors, think about the impact of Jesus calling God, Abba, Father, on our own approaches to prayer. So to summarize, ask God. He will teach us how to pray. Let's be persistent with boldness. Let's be like Abraham. Let's believe that we can have those discussions with God. And let us knock so that the door is opened and we can enter the presence of God, be his children, accept being his children, and live through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the verse, you can see how some of the things I've been saying come together in that. The bread that we're knocking at the door on our friend in Virginia Water, our sins, beginning with the Father, his kingdom come. And to be learning from Jesus that our sins will be forgiven. So let us just shut our eyes for a moment and then open them again when we're ready and say together, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Amen.